So pay transparency has been a thing for a while, and it isn't going away, not anytime soon. We're going to explore what it means for us in HR. And here we are on the HR Hub podcast with me, Andrea Adams. Keep listening to learn about this and anything related to HR. You can also find me on YouTube. Today, my guest is again Sally Loftus. Sally is the managing director of Loftus Partners. Some of the things they focus on are organization development, social justice, and pay equity and pay transparency. Hi, Sally, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. Looking forward to this. Okay. So pay transparency does come up a lot in HR, and especially lately. Why is that? Like, can you give us the context?
Yeah, I will say I've seen it come up a lot more recently because there have been laws passed in different countries, territories, continents about pay transparency. Each of those laws is different. Mm-hmm. So, but they are typically focused on posting the salary range within a job opening.
I know some of the reasons. I have experience with some of the reasons that employers are reluctant to share pay data. But for the audience, can you share what some of that is?
Yeah, some of it is, number one, they don't post any data because they don't necessarily want people to know, because maybe some of those reasons are if they put out the data, they think they're going to have 4,000 resumes come in, you know, or applications come in for something, right? Another piece may be that they want to have some negotiating power at the end, towards the end of the hiring process, right?
Right.
Or maybe that's when they share that information and they're hoping that they can kind of hook people.
Right.
And fall in love with that organization, have some kind of negotiating power. There are other people maybe who only want to put what the hiring range is versus what the whole maybe band is or something like that, and can't really explain well why the hiring range is this versus what the band is. There's other people who are just fundamentally opposed to that level of transparency. I think that's more of a traditional view, but those are some of the reasons that people are kind of hesitant to put information out there.
What about the impact that pay transparency has on the people who are in the organization?
Yeah, that is such a great question. It really is, because what I tell people, you know, when I work with clients, what I find is that people will, for instance, look at a pay transparency law just through like a legal compliance lens and be like, okay, we're going to, you know, follow it. We're going to start posting these things. And they never have a conversation with the people who are already there to say, hey, we're about to do this, because those people may be finding out for the first time that somebody doing the same job as them is making more money than them. That just completely destroys trust. And so I tell people, like, hey, you may have a pay transparency law, or you just may want to implement pay transparency at your organization, but telling people internally first is really your priority before you get that stuff out, get external information out there.
When we talk pay transparency, we don't exactly have to say Joe gets paid X and Sally gets paid Y and Andrea gets paid Z. You can just say this position pays in this range, right?
Yeah. And I will say some of the laws are different on how you do that. Okay. I am of the camp. There are definitely, when you look at pay transparency, it's not an either or, either you're transparent or not. To me, I kind of look at it as more a barometer. And there are some people like on the barometer scale that are like 100% transparency. Everybody knows what everybody makes. I have issues with that. I'm not in that camp. I will say I'm probably at like 80% transparency, whereas people can see what are the ranges for the positions in the organization. Typically, those are within salary bands. You may not have enough people, but typically that's within. And they understand how you can move within those ranges to get more pay. That's really kind of what transparency, internal transparency is about.
So when it is required by law and an employer approaches you and says, oh my God, we have to do this, how do you help a reluctant employer?
One is It's really understanding what their appetite is for pay transparency. I'm going to have a conversation up front with that employer and be like, hey, here's the situation. You can go, one of the routes is just being legally compliant and doing this. And here are the other things you need to consider internally. And if you don't have that internal conversation and that piece done first, then this is going to create huge problems for you. And then at that point, the client will probably either be like, okay, let's have the conversation, or no, I just want to do the legal compliance. And I'm typically passing them off to somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, you know, here, you can kind of do that, you know, do that on your own. But if you want to do this and do it in a way that builds trust across the organization, internally, externally, then I can help you with that.
Is there a pitch to a reluctant employer that this really is actually in their best interest?
I would say, you know, there's so much research out there right now around employee engagement and around the ways people are working and engaging in the workforce. And I say engaging with the workforce, whether they're looking for a job, looking for a full-time job, looking for a part-time job, coming in and out of the workforce, that's more common now. So I would definitely share research with them around how transparency, autonomy, flexibility are very strong indicators of high employee engagement and people coming to an organization now, even more so than it was even a few years ago. I would definitely lay out that kind of research and share that with them.
Now, what about like the individual employees? Sometimes they are concerned about sharing their salary with other people. You talked about that example where the guy doing the exact same job gets paid a whole bunch more. Maybe that guy doesn't want everybody else to know that he gets paid a whole bunch more. How do you deal with employee?
Yeah, I really appreciate that you bring up that question, because I think sometimes what people skip over is there's a level of consent that happens within this internal information and this internal sharing. So that's why I'm not on the 100% transparency train.
Okay.
And I said 80%. I don't know what my percentage is. It's pretty high, but it's not 100%. I think one is that to have the ongoing consent, which means you got to have to ongoingly ask every employee in the organization that they can, that they are willing to share what they're making with everybody else in the organization. That alone is a huge task and could be like a full-time HR job. You know, so that piece, and getting consent and having the environment where people feel like they can say no. And I mean, that whole thing. I think also there's a piece of this of like the level of, for instance, you may have somebody in a domestic violence situation and they're good friends with somebody else at work, and that person can share with a partner about what this person makes exactly, or somebody's going through a divorce, or, you know what I mean? Like, so you can set people up by doing that. That's why I'm kind of on the like staying within the bands, you know, the ranges within the bands on that piece, because I do think there is some level of protection that's there versus just here's what everybody makes. And there are some organizations who do that. They're small. That level of transparency is incredible, but I just don't think that's scalable.
I thought that pay transparency was really is an equity initiative, so that you can see that so-and-so makes more than the white man, makes more than the black woman or whatever. But when you start just sharing bands, you can't see that within that band range that all the men are up here and everybody else is like the white men, let's just say, are all up here and everybody else is down here. You can't see that unless you're truly transparent. Does it defeat the purpose?
That is a great example there. So to how it each of the laws are different. So for instance, to use England, they have some very defined laws around gender pay gap reporting. Like every organization of a certain size has to report to the government what their gender pay gap is. And it's starting to get into race and ethnicity. So there, some of these laws may have an element in there where you're having to report your pay data to a government entity. Even if you don't have everybody's pay, but if you visually can see, oh, everybody in the top tier are, you know, white men, or, you know, everybody has a doctorate, or, you know, whatever. There's some to say, okay, then what does that mean? That gets back to the how can I go through these bands? And I'm kind of using this like tracking up symbol, you know, here with my hands, of like, how can I go through those bands? And is that accessible to everybody in the organization based on like their experience, you know, things like that. But is it only accessible to people who have this relationship with this person in the organization, you know, close allyship, or only people who work in this department can go up? And then you're starting to look at, okay, what's kind of the cultural pieces of that? Like, there's some kind of subculture things happening there.
So when you're forced to be transparent, when employers forced to be transparent about their pay, does that require them, like almost automatically require them to do a pay equity thing? Because now their data is available to the world, and it's not flattering.
Oh, how I wish that were true. I wish that everyone would be like, you know, this is a really great opportunity for us to look at pay equity. No, it is not. And there are certainly organizations who try to avert the compliance pieces of this. So famous examples like, you know, and I'm not calling out one particular business here, but like there was an example of like when New York City went to their pay transparency law. I can't remember what the job was, but it was at Netflix. And the job range on the posting was 90,000 to 900,000.
Yeah.
So they complied, right? And then, of course, they had a job description, but you had no way of knowing really where you would fall within that range. Like, it was kind of pointless. So they were legally compliant, but aren't really sharing the information. So there's definitely ways that people can kind of dodge some of this a little bit.
Yeah.
But I will say, they may be dodging it legally or whatever, but what you're not dodging is the amount of people looking for jobs at your organization, and they see you doing that. And they're not going to come back and apply at your organization, or they're going to tell their friends, or they're going to make a TikTok video about it and call you out.
What about, you know, like collective agreements, for example? I don't know if you ever deal with any of those, but they are all, obviously, they're very transparent. I should ask this in the pay equity episode. There could be a whole ton of pay inequity baked into collective agreements.
Yeah, I think whenever it comes to collective agreements, I'm super curious, and kind of you asking me that question makes me want to kind of go research this a little bit more about how those collective agreements work within the different laws. So for instance, like I'm going to use United Auto Workers, right? Within the United States, they just went on a big strike. Most of them are located in the Midwest, which don't have pay transparency laws. If they had anybody employed, because they might be, you know, might have remote people, right? Would any of them that maybe live in New York City or live in California or Colorado, you know, some of these places?
Yeah.
I think that's definitely something to explore. I'm not quite sure how that works. I definitely see organizations who have remote jobs that will maybe post it in locations that don't have pay transparency laws.
Back on tracks here. What are the, you know, if an employer is not fully transparent or not as transparent as they could be, what are the repercussions? There's going to be legal repercussions if you don't comply with laws. But besides that, what are the repercussions?
Yeah, I think, you know, one is you just think about the job applicants, right? So there's that piece of it. And more people share with their friends, you know, when they're applying for things like that, and you can see it online. I will say internally, people know. I mean, you can message it, finesse it all you want, but people know what you're trying to get at. People are really smart. And I think if anything coming since 2020 and the global shutdowns and things like that, people are really craving more authenticity in the workplace, even if it is, hey, you know, going back to the pay equity example here of like, hey, we know we can't compete with this group, but we can offer this. And just saying that and being explicit about it, people value that more than people trying to be like, well, you know, we're trying to, and like, we're making, you know, kind of being more nebulous. People want more explicit. Like, you just got to be very clear. And so I say that to say people are going to see through the lack of clarity and wonder, really question the integrity of the organization or question the trust in the organization.
Yeah.
Which is why people are leaving, is that they don't, you know, they're not trusting organizations. They're not getting along with supervisors. They're not getting paid what they need to pay their everyday bills.
We've talked about this a little bit already. What is the limit to transparency? What's the practical limit?
You know, I think it's got to be a conversation within the organization. As you mentioned earlier, I think it's really important to involve staff or involve employees in those conversations. Don't just assume that everybody wants this. I think there's got to be really some employee feedback conversations. And again, pay transparency, there are different kind of shades of it. It's not a yes or no. There's different levels of it. So I think having employee conversations about that and having their consent to work through that, you know, with them, I think is really important. Again, I'm not saying put all your employees and have them upvote or downvote, you know, necessarily this piece. But I think having the conversations, understanding what people are feeling is, you know, and want to experience in the workplace is really important, because it may be you've got to take some baby steps to get to the point you want, because you've got to get people on board. Everybody needs to be on board and going together. Whereas if you go too fast or too slow, you know, based on employee feedback, they're going to kind of see through that. So it's really, I think it's got to be a collaborative process.
Mm-hmm. And that whole engagement idea, don't ask if you are not ready to do something about the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, you can very clearly ask a lot of questions that you would be prepared to ask or to act on. Okay. Final question here, as always, where can someone learn more?
Yeah. Whoa, boy, pay transparency is a big topic.
Yes.
I will say, you know, connect with me on LinkedIn, definitely with my Loftus Partners page on LinkedIn. We post about it quite often there. We also have, I will send you a link to a blog post about what is pay transparency that probably covers some of the things we talked about today.
Okay.
I will say, always check in with your legal counsel on if you have a law. I am not a lawyer and do not give legal or financial advice. And would love for people to join the Pay Equity Collective, which is a new community I've started for people who are interested in pay equity. Pay transparency is a, you know, definitely a partner in that, right? Because pay equity and pay transparency go together. So there's definitely, it's a place where you, it's free to sign up to our community site where you can ask questions, get resources, you know, engage with other people who are talking about the same topics to really talk about pay transparency. It is a fast moving movement and things happening. And I think a lot's going to happen in 2024 around this.
Well, thanks, Sally. I want to think about the links between pay transparency, pay equity, and trust, and I guess even DEI here, that all of these things are linked together and sort of move you along the continuum of being a good employer. But we have reached the end of this episode. Thanks for listening out there, and I'll catch you next time when I talk with another insightful guest.